Hello, it's the time again. It's Burst the Bubble with me, Michael Quinterio, and my special guest, James Howe.
Hello.
Later today, we'll be talking about what happens when election seats are tied. We'll be seeing the details of a strange protest in a village. And also this week's totally unscientific survey poll. Would you have a robot with knives in your house? Answer that. Get in touch with us. studio@cur1350.co.uk is our email address. Or if you're on the website, www.cur1350.co.uk, you can click on the form there and email us. But all that is after this. CUR. And that was the Lost Prophets with Where We Belong. So, welcome to Burst the Bubble with me, Michael Quinterio, and James Howe.
Hello.
First story we're talking about today. We've got a tie in the Yarmouth Council seat that was determined, as they have to in the case of a tie, by drawing of lots. Or, in this case, drawing playing cards.
Yes, I mean, this was... I was quite surprised that this was the rule. I thought they would, you know, you have a recount or you know, try again. I didn't realise it went down to party games to decide election results.
They counted it 4 times, apparently, and each time both the Labour and Conservative candidates had 1,034 votes apiece.
I mean, you think, couldn't they just sort of look around the room, try and find someone who hadn't voted yet and get them to choose?
There'd be enough trouble with people not getting a chance to vote or getting a chance to vote late. We don't really want to start doing that. But one thing that stood out for me is the fact that they got a 7 and a 3, so neither of them particularly lucky there.
No.
Do we really want people running our country who aren't that lucky?
Well, council. Lucky enough to draw a higher card than a different card, which is a lot more luck than some people have.
Well, yes, the other candidate.
Yes,
for
indeed.
Instance.
Indeed.
I think we could expand this a bit and just start. If we had ties, there must be more interesting ways.
Oh, definitely. In fact, even if we don't have ties, just have the whole election based on random games of chance.
Pin the seat on the country.
Pin the seat on the country, that's a good one. Russian roulette might be popular. Certainly weed out some of the less committed candidates.
I quite like the idea of a dance-off.
A dance-off?
A dance-off between all of the politicians.
Or, in fact, I think the best way to solve this hung parliament situation is to just to get all the MPs in a giant game of Twister. I think that would give us a definite result and speed the new government on quite nicely.
Yeah. So how would you people listening out there, how would you deal with a vote that was drawn, or in fact, just any vote, to be honest? Have you got any ideas that can beat a dance-off or a giant game of Twister?
I mean, any ideas to reform the voting system in an amusing way?
Yeah, we don't like talking politics here on Burst the Bubble, but being silly, we definitely enjoy.
We like that, yes.
Yeah, so, and speaking of being silly, we've got our totally unscientific survey, which is coming up a bit later. This week's question, would you have a robot with knives in your house? Please email us at studio@cur1350.co.uk with yes or no answer for that and your reasons why. Or if you're listening on the website, www.cur1350.co.uk, you can fill in the forms there. I still can't get over the 7 and a 3. It sounds like a plot of Gilbert and Sullivan.
Well,
there was one. I'm sure there was a Gilbert and Sullivan where they had to draw cards to discern something.
I'm not sure what your problem exactly is with a 7 and a 3. I mean, would a 5 and a 9 have pleased you more?
I don't know. It just...
I mean, 7 is traditionally lucky. I mean, there's the whole lucky 7 thing.
And 3 is magic number.
That's true.
So
perhaps...
It seems luck beats magic in this case. Yep, luck beats magic is the conclusion from the Yarmouth election.
This is CUR 1350.
Hello, welcome back to Burst the Bubble. We've had a couple of emails in about the idea of how to decide drawn election seats. Sarah says pistols at dawn.
Yes, and I think this is Tom suggests using punt jousting to decide who wins the council seat.
I think that that might have the slight issue that there's not really anywhere suitable for punt jousting. I mean, Yarmouth, they could do it in the sea, I suppose.
I don't know. I don't know what the water's like around Yarmouth, but using punt jousting does restrict you to places where there are punts.
Yeah, and water.
And water, yes. Well, I was assuming that where there are punts, water follows.
We've also had one email in about the totally unscientific survey question. Would you allow a robot with knives inside your room? Someone calling themselves Crichton has said, why shouldn't robots have knives? How else will we cook dinner? I smell discrimination. Interesting view, and we will actually be talking about a story in a little while about why it's possible that robots shouldn't have knives. So if you'll hang on for that, we will enlighten you. But for now, we're moving on to a strange protest in a Dorset village. Apparently they've got fed up of lorries going straight through their village at some speed, it sounds like. But the one thing that they do have in their village is a pedestrian crossing. So they've been pressing the button repeatedly in order to stop the traffic, you know, as a form of protest.
There was a 77-year-old man got together about 20 of his old people friends, and they just took it in turns, constantly pushing the button and walking across the road so that the traffic would be forced to slow down.
Apparently they did it on and caused a 4-mile tailback on the A35, which, because there was bank holiday traffic going around then as well. This wasn't this Friday, it's gone, it was a week earlier. I'm not sure what to make of this.
Well, I'm on the old people's side on this one, I think. I think if you've got a small village, clearly not designed for heavy lorry traffic, then you shouldn't be having loads of lorries coming through. I think I saw somewhere that the person in question who started this said that twice previously vehicles have hit his house, because all the houses are directly on the road and all this traffic keeps coming through. They think because sat navs keep directing people through because it's the shortest route.
Well, I think top marks for innovation here. I mean,
well,
as protests go, with normally marches, yes, sit-ins, yes. Crossing the road is,
well,
up till now, I think, a form of protest which has not fully been tapped.
Not fully, I don't think, no. I think the rationale was that if you're just using a crossing for its purpose, you can't get arrested, but I suppose that played out.
Yeah, it seems to be a bit of controversy over that. Some people seem to think that this guy is breaking the law by stopping the traffic when he doesn't really need to cross the road.
Well, he crossed the road. No one can prove that he didn't need to. He just was crossing the road. And I think more power to the people and more power to unusual and innovative protest systems.
My brain's just come up with, why did the old age pensioner cross the road?
I don't know. Why did the old age pension across the road?
I'm not come up with the punchline yet.
Right. Well, keep tuned, and maybe we'll have a punchline to that joke for you.
Maybe we will. Has anyone heard of any other unusual protests? I seem to remember someone protesting that they weren't allowed to protest by having a not protest.
A not protest?
Yeah, instead of doing anything obviously protesty, they just went and had a picnic.
So they just went about their normal business as a protest?
They had a protest. I think this was near the Houses of Parliament, when they apparently weren't allowed to have a protest. And then another day they went and played cricket.
Okay. Was there any sort of publicity around these, or placards? Or
No, they weren't allowed placards. That was part of the point.
I'm just confused as to how you distinguish these from just people doing things.
I think that was kind of the point, because they didn't want to be arrested for protesting when they weren't allowed to protest. But they kind of put things on the internet about it being a protest.
Were they protesting anything other than the lack of the right to protest?
I think that was it.
So it's just a meta protest.
A meta protest.
A meta protest by not protesting, protest against not being able to protest.
Yeah, I wonder if this guy who's doing the protest by using a pedestrian crossing gets told he can't do that. Will he just sit really obviously on one side of the road, be obviously looking irritated at not being able to use a pedestrian crossing?
I don't know. I think that's what a lot of pensioners do anyway, certainly around where I live.
Again,
they're all just sitting there looking annoyed.
Oh, so people listening out there, any unusual protests you've heard about, please get in touch with us with those. And we're still waiting for more responses for this week's Totally Unscientific survey. Would you allow a robot with knives into your home? I'm thinking more like a robot that you've bought here rather than one just turning up. One.
No, not just a random robot breaking into your house with knives. That I think we'd all say we don't want that.
Yeah, I mean, if Arnold Schwarzenegger turned up... turned up in front of your house wearing nothing but carrying some knives, that's not really what we're going for.
I don't know, could float some people's boats.
I don't particularly want to think about that, so let's have some music instead.
CUR 1350.
And welcome back to Burst the Bubble on CUR 1350 with me, Michael Quintero, and James Howe.
Hello.
Well, we're still waiting for more responses for our Totally Unscientific survey. Even though it is unscientific, the one response that we've had so far isn't really enough to call it a survey.
That's fair, I think.
Yeah, so please email in. Would you let a robot with knives in your home, as stated before, just like one that you'd bought rather than one that was knocking on your door?
I think the one response we have had has come from a robot, so not really representative of the demographic, I think.
No, the song we just had was Rihanna, Rude Boy, and before that we had Ting Ting's Standing in the Way of Control. That one from a live performance, I believe. So, moving on to yet more news, because that's what we do on this show. This one might be a bit unpleasant to those of you with bit of a what's the word? Fragile disposition.
Those, yeah.
Yeah, so if you've got a fragile disposition, we advise you to look away now, because we're talking about a prisoner who apparently, they think, cut off his own ear to escape from prison.
He is on the loose with one ear remaining. Apparently, he was in a cell with his brother in prison, arranged to have his ear cut off, rushed to hospital in an ambulance. The ambulance was ambushed and he got away.
Yeah, this just sounds like it's come from some sort of film like Ocean's 11 or something. It's like some friends actually planned it, and I think it's a rental car. A stolen BMW. Stolen BMW pulled in front of the ambulance he was in, forcing it to stop. And then four masked men attacked the vehicle with baseball bats and bolt cutters.
Indeed, I think it's a rare occasion of a news story that's both incredibly awesome and incredibly terrifying. Although ingenuity on behalf of the prisoner there.
Yeah, which is not exactly what you want to hear.
No.
The only time you really want ingenuity on the part of a criminal is when it's George Clooney in a film.
That's true. Though, to be fair, this is one escape scheme that's not going to work too many times. Sooner or later, you will run out of expendable body parts.
I'm just imagining just... bits have been getting cut off gradually each time. I'm hoping that they cotton on to his plan before.
I don't know. I'm gonna guess they're not gonna give him knives next time.
It's not actually clear how they hacked off his ear.
I don't know. Maybe his cellmate used some teeth or something.
Apparently, his cellmate was his brother as well.
I don't know.
I didn't realise that happened. You get put in a cell with your brother.
That's true, yes. You wouldn't have thought that was a very good idea, having sort of criminals who know each other in the same cell so that they can...
Plot more crimes.
Plot
perhaps.
More crimes and escapes, and indeed in this case succeed.
Yeah, I mean, it makes you wonder how the brother who's left in jail is feeling.
I don't know.
Is he glad his brother got out, or is he waiting for the van to burst through the side of the jail? Because that's going to be the next part. If you've got if you've had one jailbreak,
that's true.
And we're going for a movie, surely the next part is the full on the full jailbreak where all the alarms are going off and suddenly a van or a tank crashes through the walls of the cell.
I would advise any police prison wardens there to check his room for suspicious posters that might be covering holes, or indeed suspicious amounts of soil in his trouser legs.
Yeah, giving them spoons so they can dig through the floor.
Never give a prisoner a spoon. That's it. It's a rookie mistake.
I hope he gets caught, because
I for one hope that an escaped violent criminal does indeed get caught. Yes.
Yeah. It's not a nice thought. We've had a couple of emails about the stories that we've been talking about. The best one, we had one from Marty about the protest. The old age pensioner protesting about lorries going through his road, and he's been saying that let's hope he doesn't chicken out from continuing to cross the road. I think that's almost
as good as your joke earlier.
I think that's a better one than my joke.
Given
Marty,
that yours didn't have a punchline, I think that might win.
Perhaps Marty should be here next week.
Perhaps. I think we've also got an email from Tom, I think it was.
Yep, Tom.
About this OAP who, in order to cross her road, has to go on a 14-mile bus journey. I'm not immediately sure why. Ah, here we are. She has to cross the A35, and there is no crossing available, so she has to catch four buses. Which takes her 14 miles. One wonders... There must be an easier way to cross that road, really. Don't you think?
Yeah, well, obviously she's not living near where the protest is, because that's the same road. They're both the A35.
That's true. Maybe she should join up with this other guy who's doing nothing but cross the road, and he could help her out.
Yeah, so perhaps we need to increase the number of road crossings on that road, not just for purposes of stopping lorries going through, but also just so people can cross the road.
Yeah, indeed. Or catapults for the elderly. that also would work, and I'm in favour of them.
Oh, I've just pressed the wrong button.
Oh, what have you done there?
We've lost.
There we go.
One more comment for our totally unscientific survey from Alfie. Robots with knives. I fear it may already be too late. It can only be so long before the blenders and food processors turn against us.
That is true. Those blend tech things do scare me.
Oh, I had a while back. I was on. Playing a DVD, and I tried to fast forward it through the bits at the start, you know, the really boring trailers. Do not copy this DVD, and it's going, well, I'm not copying this DVD. I bought it
and I'm playing it on my machine.
But the worrying thing was that when I tried to fast forward it, a little box came up saying this operation has been prohibited by the disc.
Whoa.
Which worries me a bit. It's like, not only is the technology, not only are computers telling us what we can and can't do, but DVDs are apparently controlling objects in my household.
That is terrifying. I urge everyone to go out and burn all DVDs before it's too late.
Yeah, so at least the blenders and food processors are generally in separate rooms.
Are they?
To DVDs.
Oh, to DVDs.
To DVDs,
yes.
not to each other.
Not to each other, no.
I'd be quite impressed if you had a blender and food processor in general, to be honest. never mind what room they're in.
Well, it's unwise to keep them in the same room, though, because one might cut off the other's ear and make a bid for freedom.
Yeah, but lock up your DVDs, your blenders, and your food processors. We got an email here from Mr. Mackay saying that as a long-standing prison warder, I can assure you that there are no spoons.
Thank you.
Which means that prisons are, in fact, the Matrix, I think.
Yes, there is. It's okay. There is no spoon. We can confirm that. Thank you.
And people talked about files getting smuggled in with cakes. In that case, the cake is a lie.
That's true. There is no spoon, and the cake is a lie.
We're just running,
have nothing to fear.
We're just running through the pop culture references here. I think we should stop before
we just...
we
should have some music now.
CUR 1350.
Welcome back to Burst the Bubble with me, Michael Quinterio, and James Howe.
Hello.
Broadcasting to you live on CUR 1350. That was a remix by MC Sleazy, Don't Call Me Baby, which was originally by Madison Avenue. And also some of Song 2 from Blur in there as well. A bit of a different tune for us there. So we are now moving on to the story which has inspired our totally unscientific survey, which we're still looking for more responses for that, by the way. Just to butt the numbers up a bit. But whether you are pro or anti robots with knives, and you may want to listen to this just a little bit before you make your decision. German researchers have been studying what happens in accidents involving robots using sharp tools alongside humans. So what they've done is they've programmed this robot to strike test substances that mimic soft tissue, including at one point, this is another thing where if you're squeamish you may want to look away, including actually the arm of a volunteer.
Yes. Now, I must establish at this point that these researchers were German, and I'm slightly worried that they're programming robot arms to stab people in order to find out whether it's dangerous that robot arms could stab people.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, they found that if you program a robot to stab things, it can cause fatal wounds.
Yes, a bit of a no-brainer there.
Oh, well, interesting what they've used. A robot arm weighing 14 kilograms with a 1.1 meter reach. And these are obviously vital statistics that we're going to have to know in the future to dodge all of the robot arms, which will be coming after us.
Equipped with a steak knife, a kitchen knife, scissors and a screwdriver, which, as I say, they then programmed to flail at things in a violent manner.
Yeah. A silicon lump.
A dead pig's leg and the arm of a human volunteer.
Is that just them treating the PhD student badly?
I don't know.
I can imagine just going, oh, do you not want to get cited in this paper?
Yes, come. Let
hold
me
out your arm.
No, hold out your arm and let me stab it with my robot.
Yeah, considering, I assume that they did the stuff. Did they do the stuff with the pig's leg first?
They did. Although the injuries would have been fatal, fortunately they had turned on the safety things when they did it at the person, so they weren't horribly mutilated. Although, I would hope that in the future, when we have robots in our homes,
everything would have the safety thing switched on.
First of all, everything would have the safety thing switched on, and we wouldn't have programmed them to stab us, which seems to be the scientific method used here.
Perhaps the DVDs would have programmed them to stab us.
That's true. They can be nasty, those DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Oh,
18 DVDs, perhaps the ones you have to watch out for.
Yeah.
Or maybe some DVDs are not happy about having nice twee you films.
That's true. Although I'm not quite sure how a DVD would be able to reprogram a robot arm.
I don't know. They can control my DVD player.
That's true.
That's a start.
It's a small step up from that, I think.
Everything gets networked, and all of a sudden we've got Cylon DVD players.
Yeah. So, any responses to this alarming news, please send them in.
Yeah.
And how do you feel about having robots with knives in your own home?
I'm intrigued at the variety of bladed household tools that they have. They've got a knife, scissors, and then a screwdriver.
Yeah, it's just in case it can't do enough damage with just one. Better give it all four.
Yeah, I just think the screwdriver seems to stand out for me there a little bit. It seems to be one where robots might actually be a bit more useful with screwdrivers, but I'm worried about the damage now.
Well, I always find that non-robotic screwdrivers work just as well for me. In my day-to-day use of screwdrivers. And I often don't go around stabbing at pigs' legs and people's arms. So I'm gonna hesitantly say that perhaps we're not ready for robot arm assistance in the home.
I'm just imagining disembodied robot arms somehow attempting to take over the world. It's sort of like wrapping around someone's neck and holding a knife to their throat.
I think there's a good film there. Best not to release it on DVD. They might get ideas.
Yeah. Oh. No one's going to see it then.
They can see it in theatres.
Do they not use like super DVDs or something?
No,
these
that's
days?
Still on reels of film. It's all old school at the theatre.
I thought the 3D ones were supposed to be all digital these days.
Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen the 3D ones. But I know your standard film at the theatre is your clicky-clacky reel of film. That's why it's all scratchy and full of holes.
Coming soon to a cinema near you. They thought the robots could help. They thought the robots could sauté. But they weren't ready for when they were on the menu.
Yes.
Yeah, so
I can see it now.
Please email in if you've got any better ideas for films than us, because
we don't have good film ideas generally, or we wouldn't be here.
No, so yep. So far on the website, it seems to be 50-50 people claiming that not giving robots knives was discrimination. Robots should be allowed knives in people's homes, and someone worried already about the presence of electronic devices with sharp bladed objects. So please, to let us know. Remember, you can email us on studio@cur1350.co.uk or going to the website www.cur1350.co.uk, clicking on the Listen Live link and using the form there.
CUR 1350.
Welcome back to Burst the Bubble. That was Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger by the worryingly robotic sounding Daft Punk.
I think they're coming to get us.
Yeah, so do I. Perhaps that wasn't the best choice of tune there. But anyway, moving on, we've got a bit of a just a nature section, to be honest, here. We've got two stories which have been in the news over the past week about basically dead or rare animals. Firstly, we've got woolly mammoths have... Nature Genetics reported that scientists... So, I'm not sure how they did this.
Reported it?
No. The scientists created some blood protein, which was...
Oh, it was something in fancy involving bacteria there.
Mammoths, yeah. The mammoth DNA sequences were converted into RNA and inserted into bacteria.
Yes, what was it, Jurassic Park? The standard method for cloning extinct animals.
Yeah, the E. coli bacteria, which is interesting.
Yes.
We're fine with that.
We don't discriminate against bacteria.
Only robots. But it seems that there's a genetic mutation in these proteins, which allows their blood to basically work as blood, even at low temperatures.
Yes,
antifreeze.
It's the headline is mammoths had antifreeze blood, which I'm not sure whether that's literally true. Whether you could, if the mammoths were around now, you could cut them open and bleed them into your cars. That's probably not recommended. They would be quite rare if they were alive now, wouldn't they?
I don't know. If we could clone them, they wouldn't be rare, I don't think.
Well, at first they would, but then, obviously, depends how fast we can clone them and what the demand for antifreeze is.
Yeah. Would using mammoth blood be more or less ethical than current antifreeze?
Well, I think the current antifreeze, you just sort of make it. I don't know. So I don't think there's any ethics involved in current antifreeze.
Would we be giving these mammoths a reason to live, though?
I think we would. Although I think the bigger question we all want to know is, if you pump antifreeze into an elephant, does it grow hair? And I urge all the listeners, if you're visiting a zoo today, to attempt this experiment.
Just quickly, we've got another nature story. Oh, that's not nature.
It's not natural.
Yes, Apparently, the colossal squid, which is the world's largest invertebrate, which basically means it doesn't have a spine, pretty spineless, is not a horrifying, terrifying sea monster.
Yeah, so essentially, scientists now report that it's very boring.
Yeah, it's boring, it's slow, it just floats around a bit. People used to call it the Kraken, perhaps. Well, people used to think that it was a Kraken.
They did, but you know, the Kraken's not boring at all. That was an awesome monster. But, no, sadly, the giant squid has been relegated from monster to boring thing.
It's not a voracious predator. It's still a bit of a predator, but it's a sit-and-float predator, this scientist, yes. Dr. Rosa, has described it as.
A sit-and-float predator.
Which I think makes it much, much less scarier than robots.
Less scarier than robots, yes.
We've had a couple of emails in. George is suggesting that we might be causing a robot uprising by the bad press that we're giving to robots here.
I hadn't thought of that.
We love you, really, robots.
We love robots.
We love robots.
We've got a lovely joke here from Sarah. If I could just read it. If the software engineers insist on programming robots to kill people, we'd better leave it up to the hardware people to make them armless. Marvellous joke there, thank you.
And Ralph here suggesting that we deal with all of our technological problems in one go by making the robot arms attack, programming them so they attack DVDs rather than people's arms.
That's true.
Stop any possible uprisings in the bud.
Because we love robots.
We love robots. We love you. We don't want you to start uprising.
No, please don't stab us. Stab the DVDs. Thank you.
So you are.
Well, sadly, we've almost come to the end of Bursa Bubble here. So we've just about got time for working out tomorrow's news today. This week, we are going on the fact that lots of news stories seem to run on and on. So we've written down words from news stories from this week and put on bits of paper. And we're going to pick a couple of bits of paper and try and forecast next week's news stories with
them. Yes, I've got them in the radio hat here.
Okay, so the first
webcam viewers will be able to see the marvellous hat I have them in.
Surprisingly, we've got robot.
Robot is the first word.
And Doctor Who.
Do you want to take another one?
Yeah, I'll take one more.
A third one.
So next week, the news.
No, not that one.
That's the same story.
Try again.
That's the same story. Marathon. Obviously the way to defeat robots in the future will be revealed by scientists to be a Doctor Who marathon. Doctor Who was in the news this week because Terry Pratchett called the show ludicrous, but stated that he loved it anyway.
To be fair, I think he has a point. The Russell T. Davis era was not known for its good science.
It's not really science fiction, is it?
No, though it is getting better.
But we love it really.
We also love it really.
We love it really. Okay.
You take the hat. I'll have a go.
James's turn to predict the news.
Right, I've got protest. Hello.
The news is spilling all over the floor.
Ear. And let's see. No, that's not that one. That's the same one again. No, we've had knives. No more knives.
Get rid of the knives.
That's the same one again. Come on. Seat. Right. I've ear, protest, and seat. So clearly, in the next week, people will be protesting against having to sit down by cutting off their ears in a mass protest across the country because they just cannot take the seats these days.
We did speak about toxic seats last week. Perhaps it's related to that.
Perhaps it is related to that. I forgot about the toxic seats. Did you get these ones checked?
Yeah, these ones are fine. Or at least I haven't burnt up over the past week.
That's true. You haven't.
I'm not seeing our my guests from last week, Dr. Rich Wareham.
No, maybe he's had a horrible seat accident. So perhaps we should all get out there and protest against toxic seats by cutting off our ears.
One last one using some of the news words that we've got left. Supreme, squid, Latin.
Well, that's abundantly clear what that means.
Oh, and the squid speaking Latin. And
the supreme squid.
The supreme squid.
The supreme squid will rise up to prove it's not boring by teaching us all Latin.
A plan which I feel may be backfiring upon it.
I don't know. It sounds awesome to me.
The supreme squid protect us all from the robots.
I don't know. Will it get here in time to save us from the toxic chairs?
Ooh. And will its Latin name, in fact, be more or less interesting than squid?
Squidus?
Squidus Colossius.
Supremus. That's more interesting than squid, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that's nice. And
oh, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. We have got just 3 bits of paper left. I think we have to use them.
Oh, go on.
You're
then.
Morally obliged. Prison. Cat. Lorry.
Obviously, the lorry that's going to bust that guy's brother out of prison will be driven by a cat.
Yeah. That is precisely.
Yeah. So those are our predictions for tomorrow's news.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see next week if any of those come to pass. I mean, we worried about an alien invasion in the past. We're worrying about a robot invasion now. So all I can really say is I hope I'm still here next week to present this. And thank you for James.
Hello.
Coming on.
Thank you.
And yes, thank you very much all, and good night.